doing our scripture readings just a little different today. Carol will be reading the scriptures, but in the midst of the sermon. Well, one of my very favorite things to do is to throw myself into a wave in the ocean and ride it into shore. It's called body surfing. Yes, it's a real thing. Yes, it's more than just playing in the water. Yes, there's even a technique to it. Growing up in South Florida, as I did, is, and I know this will come as a great shock to you, very different than growing up in Indiana. My children point that out to me regularly. Mom, we grew up here, not there. For instance, the culture is different, the plants are different, even the bugs are different. No native Floridian will ever tell you that there was a roach in their house. Now, palmetto bugs, the size of VW Beetle cars, yeah, but no roaches. And it was, 30 years into our marriage that my husband finally looked it up and said, look, they are roaches. And I said, no, they're not. The recreation there is different too. The beach is near, and a hot, clear day with waves measuring 3 to 5 feet will find body surfers out in droves. Now, in order to be a successful body surfer, you have to do it right. After you're placing yourself in deep water, the first thing you need to do is choose the right wave. And that wave is usually the one after you think it's gonna be. Then just before the wave reaches you, it's important that you get moving, taking a few strong swimming strokes just before the wave gets there. But the real secret to body surfing is this. If you want to ride the wave all the way into shore, you have to let go and let the water take you. No control, just let go. Now, what does this have to do with the reason we're here this morning? I'm going to tell you. Let's see if we can figure it out. Body surfing lesson number one, choosing the wave. As you know, waves are not all the same. Some of them have more power than others. When choosing the proper wave, we look for a wave that has power, that has strength enough to carry us all the way to shore. Now, I'm guessing that very few of you are interested in actually learning to body surf. Maybe some. Yep. We've got Ben's hand up back there. But this is where we come down to how it relates to our relationship with God. The basic principles of body surfing can be applied to our Christian walk. Our scripture passages this morning show us some pictures of the very beginnings of the Christian movement. First, followers of Jesus had to choose who they were going to believe. They had to choose who they were going to follow and face Jesus's death on the cross and then rumors of his resurrection, and then they had to choose how they would respond. Now I'm going to call on Carol to read this choosing encounter from John 6, 53 to 68.
So Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood have eternal life, and I will raise them up on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood abide in me, and I in them. Just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so whoever eats me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven, not like that which the ancestors ate and they died, but the one who eats the bread will live forever." He said these things while he was teaching in the synagogue of Capernaum. When many of his disciples heard it, they said, "This teaching is difficult. Who can accept it?" But Jesus, being aware that his disciples were complaining about it, said to them, "Does this offend you? Then what if you were to see the Son of Man ascending to where he was before? It is the Spirit that gives life. The flesh is useless. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life. But among you there are some who do not believe." For Jesus knew from the beginning who were the ones who did not believe and who was the one who would betray him. And he said, "For this reason I have told you that no one can come to me unless it's granted by the Father." Because of this, many of his disciples turned back and no longer went about with him. So Jesus asked the 12, "Do you also wish to go away?" Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom can we go? You have the words of eternal life."
First, Jesus chose his disciples, and now, even before the trauma of the crucifixion, before they knew everything, they had to choose him again. And they had to build new understandings of relationship with God, new understandings of life and of this Jesus whom they were following. After Jesus' resurrection, they had to choose him again. Choosing Jesus sometimes means choosing something hard. Since we're here this morning, we've all already chosen Jesus at least once. We've done so here in this room, in music, in prayer, and in scripture. We've experienced Jesus through others and in nature. We've not seen Jesus face to face, but we have experienced Jesus in our lives. That choice is something we continue to do. Our encounter with Jesus is more than just meeting him. We choose him. We choose with our heads, with our heart, with our bodies, with our behavior. This choice, our commitment to the Christian life, doesn't happen casually. It affects all of life, encompassing all of the things that we do, all of the times in our lives. In choosing Christ, we're changing where we spend our time and our money, our energy, and our intellect. We're choosing to act and react in love rather than in some other way. We make choices all the time. We choose when we get up in the morning, what food we'll have for breakfast, what we'll do with our day. We choose what to read. We choose what to watch. And we choose what to believe of all of the myriad of ideas that we encounter. And then we choose how we'll act based on those beliefs. Before we do anything else related to our faith, we have to choose whom we'll follow. Who have you chosen to follow? And now we're ready for body surfing lesson number 2. After choosing the correct wave, if we're going to be able to ride it to shore, we have to get moving. Jump in the water, take 3 or 4 of those strong strokes in order to be moving when the wave catches you. As you watch, wait, and choose, we need to be preparing to move. Carol, will you come and read Acts 2 now?
Therefore, let the entire house of Israel know with certainty that God has made him both Lord and Messiah, this Jesus whom you crucified. Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and to the other apostles, "Brothers, what should we do?" Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, so that your sins may be forgiven, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you, for your children, and for all who are far away, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to him." And he testified with many other arguments and exhorted them, saying, "Save yourselves from this corrupt generation." So those who welcomed his message were baptized, and that day about 3,000 persons were added.
In the beginning of the book of Acts, we have the dramatic story of the Holy Spirit descending on hundreds of Jesus' disciples at Pentecost. Many of those disciples were gathered together. The Holy Spirit came like a mighty wind. It was as if flames of fire rested above them, and they did things beyond which they would have been able to do by themselves. What Carol read begins with the end of Peter's sermon given at Pentecost, immediately after he had received the Spirit. But Peter had gotten moving, maybe before some of the others. And all of a sudden, Peter was up there preaching about Jesus and how he related to their lives in a post-resurrection world, which was very new to them. In fact, they were probably all still trying to grasp what that might mean. Friends, we've met Jesus. Jesus has chosen us, and we've chosen him now. Now, not later. Now is the time to get moving. We're not all preachers. We're not all teachers. We're not all singers, but God has work for every single one of us. I've heard about a young man recently who, while in high school, chose not to become involved in the very active Youth for Christ organization at his high school. His parents and many of his Christian friends and acquaintances worried about him. What's he doing? Why isn't he in the middle of all this Christian stuff? What would he be doing with those friends of his who weren't living for the Lord? But he went about high school life without getting into trouble and graduated and went off to college. Now, after he had matured and become much more outgoing than he had been in high school, he finally told his family what was going on, why he didn't participate in Youth for Christ. He said to them, "If I had been part of that organization, the other friends that I hung out with would be suspicious of me. I wouldn't have had time to spend with them. And while I was with them, I had the opportunity to influence them and to tell them about God." This young man had special work to do, and he followed the leading of the Holy Spirit rather than just going along with doing what all of his other Christian friends were doing. And he did it in a way that would accomplish what God had asked him to do. He knew what he was doing. This young man got moving. He didn't preach. He didn't attend the religious club meetings, but he was moving for the Lord in his normal, everyday high school life. As we are looking at ways to get moving, we need to be reminded that whatever we do, as well as whatever we say, all of that is a witness of some sort. It's a good one. It's a, well, not so good one. There are times when we all want to be anonymous, when we want to just do our own thing. But when we get moving for God, we're telling people something with everything that we do. What would we have told those with whom we've come in contact this week? When we get moving, we experience that power of the Holy Spirit that we talk about. We are able to do things that in our own power we couldn't do. Think about when you might have felt that kind of help in your spiritual life. We get moving by the power of the Spirit, and we stay moving by giving ourselves totally to God and tapping into that power of the Holy Spirit. And so we come to body surfing lesson number 3. Give yourself totally to the wave. Some people can just relax in the water. They can lay on top of it and float. Other people do what David always says he does and swim like a rock, just straight down to the bottom. But if you can give yourself to that wave, the wave will take you to shore. We've chosen our wave, we've gotten moving in the water. Now, in order to get all the way into the shore, we have to give ourselves to the wave. Let go, relax, enter into the chaos of the wave. That's easier for some than for others, but those who make it all the way to the shore have done just that. In the scriptures, one of the metaphorical meanings of water is chaos. And body surfing can indeed be chaotic. One summer day, more years ago than I would like to admit, this slightly overweight, one relatively unathletic woman did a backhand spring off her elbows in the water. There I experienced chaos and the power to do that which I normally would not be able to do. And it took my breath away. We're going to hear from Carol now as she outlines from Acts some of the things that were going on in the early church that these people probably couldn't have done on their own.
This is from Acts 5, 12 through 16. Now many signs and wonders were done among the people through the apostles, and they were all together in Solomon's portico. None of the rest dared to join them, but the people held them in high esteem. Yet more than ever, believers were added to the Lord, great numbers of both men and women, so that they even carried out the sick into the streets and laid them on cots and mats, in order that Peter's shadow might fall on some of them as he came by. A great number of people would also gather from the towns around Jerusalem, bringing the sick and those tormented by unclean spirits, and they were all cured.
The letters of Paul give us even more details about the problems that the early church encountered. There were doctrinal disagreements. There were liturgical disagreements, and many of the same kinds of disagreements that plague the church even today. They were indeed chaotic times. The infant church was not all in the same place. The people weren't hearing the exact same messages from everyone. And the different biases and other attitudes that they carried with them without even realizing it got in the way of the unity that God wants for the church to have. Now, the church today is larger it's even more widespread. And think of how many different Christian messages you've heard this year. Just so many, and some of them directly opposing one another. Those struggles continue, but the power of the Spirit guides us in our lives. So how do we know? We get moving and do our homework. We read and study the Word of God and spend time in prayer. And then we check our conclusion with other members of the family of God. Group study and discussion is a way to discern God's leading in any body of believers. And this study is the first way that we give ourselves totally to God, depending on the Holy Spirit to guide us in the right direction. As individuals and as a congregation, we continue to seek the Word of God in the Scriptures, in times of study and meditation, because that reading and study and meditation allows the Holy Spirit to come in and guide our spirit into what the Lord wants us to do. Now, many people have trouble giving control of themselves to a wave for 10 or 15 seconds. Think how much harder it is to give ourselves totally to God in that all-encompassing way for a lifetime. But my friends, practice makes perfect. If we continue to practice giving ourselves to God, we continue to do it more easily each time we do. The important thing is to keep trying, to keep seeking and listening for the will of God in our lives. When we do that, we're on the crest of the wave, riding with the power of the Holy Spirit toward our goal. Like Paul, pressing on to the goal that is before us, and that goal is living life totally devoted to our Lord. The ride can't be controlled, at least not by us. But it's the only way that we really live into being the people that God wants us to be, day after day after day. Amen.
You've been listening to a podcast from Wabash Presbyterian Church. For more sermons and resources, please visit us at wabashpresbyterian.com.